Sorry, ma'am. You are just the missing link in the whole situation.
Okay.
You're welcome. Let me once again welcome everybody, but in particular, I want to welcome Honorable Carter, who has been away for quite some time. And I hope that now that you're back, we have been having prayers and say that you get well as speedily as possible. And we believe that we will be seeing regularly here in the committee. Your health will not fail you, like it has in the past few months. You're welcome. Last week was the final day when we said we are now dismissing you from the committee because your absence makes us very concerned. Honorable members, welcome. Today we've got guests from the Northern Cape. And we have requested that he is translator so that they can be able to hear everything and everything that will be spoken here. I don't know between you and the committee, ma'am, how you're going to be handling the situation. But my belief is that when we speak, we will push and then you will be able to translate to the members of the community so that they can be able to follow the processes as well we will be speaking.
I said that my members get another quality for going into Afrikaans and English both languages. Because the honorable gentleman that said that they need translation or interpreting into English and Afrikaans. From English to Afrikaans and from Afrikaans to English. I interpret out of it. But if the session is 3 or 4 hours, it's a bit long for one individual to do that, yes.
Yes.
Pardon? Okay, no problem then, we can go.
It's going to be very short. Thank you, honorable members. I think we need to start with our meeting for today. I'm going to quickly for the members of the community. Introduce members of the community to the context of the community. I am DJ Lady Magadi, the chairperson of this portfolio committee on transport.
So, for the Ethics Avenue, can Ethics be...
Let me first introduce the committee and then you will come at the later stage.
Committee of Worcester is at 10 years old, Worcester.
Members of Sakadevi.
Member Daniel from Sakadevi.
My name is Ted Shibande, member of this committee.
My name is Tilan Nawizi, member of this committee.
Thank you very much. These are the honorable members who actually will be interacting and engaging with yourself today.
This is the ambassador of the Iran Gesprek for vandaag.
I'm going to request the members from the committee to introduce themselves to us.
Ik ga vragen dat jullie van die gemeenschap al aan ons bekend stellen.
Mag je dan die? Mag je dan die voorzitter? Mijn naam is Ernie Juni. Ik is de voorzitter van de plaatselijke landbouwproducentenvereniging daarvoor in ons gemeenschap.
Good morning. I'm Ernie Juni and I'm the chairperson of the local producers in our community.
Goedemorgen, achtbare voorzitter.
Ek is Ernia van Wetens en Gemeenskap, lid van die vakkomitee.
Good morning, I'm Hilary Nell from Roy Fonday, and I'm part of the Alphanifa Committee in Ons Gemeenskap. Thank you very much. I don't want to procrastinate. Without much ado, I am going to request the community to make a presentation to the committee. We have documentation, we have gone through those documentation, but it is fair and proper that the community talk to us.
Ja, baie dankie, agbare voorsitter. Baie dankie vir die geleentheid eersens dat u vir ons die kans gee om vandag ons vraag te stel. Baie dankie ook vir die manier wat julle bereid is om ons te akkommodeer, ten spyte van die feit dat ons so 'n bietjie kommunikasieprobleme het.
Thank you very much for having us here, and also thank you very much for accommodating us despite the communication problem that we have.
Ja, ek word voorsitter, ons vir die afgelope 12 jaar het ons geweldig baie kommunikasie gevoer en briewe gekry en versoeke gerig van verskillende instansies om ons park saam te wees, en tot dusver toe voordat u ons nou vandag ook akkommodeer het, het al hierdie versoeke van ons op doorgehore geval.
For the past 12 years we had a lot of communication and letters with different organizations, and up to today, so you accommodated us, there was actually no success with this process.
Ja, as voor voorzitter, ons het om vir u te verduidelik wat aangaan, met eers vir u net die agtergrond skets rondom die berging van kernafval by Walvis.
Before I start, I just need to give you some background on the storage of nuclear waste.
Kernafval word van kernafval af vervoer vir Springbok en op het teergat en daarvan af verder van een paalkort waar het eigen geberg moet word.
Nuclear was transported from Pelindaba to Springbok en there to Falkers where it is stored.
Die pad van Pelindaba tot in Springbok is opgegradeerd na ons mening ten koste van miljoenen rande, maar die laatste stuk van Springbok na Falkers bly al vir die afgelopen 20 jaar in die agterlike toestand, en dit is die verklikte waarom oor kernafval ook vervoer word.
The road from Pelindaba to Springbok has been upgraded, but the stretch from Springbok to Falkers haven't been upgraded, and that is the other part of the road that's being used to transport the nuclear waste.
Soos ons het verstaan, is die toestand van die pad waarom die kernafval vervoer word op die oomblik in stryd met internationale kernregulasies en standaarde.
The condition of the road on which the waste is being transported is in contrast of national regulations or international regulations for the transportation of nuclear waste.
Ons word gereeld ingelig dat dit nie baie gevaarlike materiaal is wat vervoer word, maar ons het nog nie steeds nie die waarborg dat afvoervoertuig sou in ongeluk betrokke was, ons gebied nie besoedel sou word nie, en ons het ook rede om te vermoed dat daar kernafval gevaarlik is. Dit is hoekom hulle dit so baie diep begrawe en so baie moeite doen om dit in 'n seismografies stil gebied te berg.
We were informed that this nuclear waste isn't dangerous, but there's no guarantee that it will not deplete our area negative or pollute our area, and that's why they are usually spotting this or burying this nuclear waste in seismography relative quiet areas.
Ons geloof dat buiten dat die kernafval gevaarlik is, die pad baie gevaarlik is, en dat die pad se toestand op die oomblik verantwoordelik kan wees dat daar kernafval gemors kan word of gestaard kan word, en wat dan ons hele gebied kan besoedel en lewens in gevaar stel.
We believe that not only that the nuclear waste is dangerous, but also that the roads are dangerous, and when the condition of the roads is not good, it can happen that some of the nuclear waste can be dropped or spilled on the roads, and this can problems to the health and the lives of people around here.
Ag, maar voorzitter, terwijl ik met mijn voorlesing bezig is, daar foto's omstuur dat die afwaarlede kan zien hoe lijkt die toestand van wat nou. Die foto's wat ik omstuur, is belangrijk om daarop te let, dat dit is nie riviere wat ons afgeneem is nie. Dit is die pad werkelijk self, hoe die pad lijkt, en dit is so belangrijk om te let daarop, dat daar geen waarschuwingstekens is, dat die pad gevaarlijk is voor een toneel. Ek sien graag sê, het gaat om van hoe die gebied daar te belet, met foto's van hoe die pad lijkt.
I'm going to say some fossils around, take note that it's not the rubber that we've taken pictures of, but the actual road. And another problem is that there are also no warning signs to warn people that the road is dangerous.
Hoekom ons sê die pad is gevaarlik? In die afgelopen jaar of twee, daar nou reeds vier vrachtmotors wat sy stuur kolomme ingegeet en van die pad geloop het. De wagen drie machines waar het was en die ander Ford vrachtmotor.
Almost all the way off the road because of the steering rest and gaining. Three of them were Mercedes and the other kind of people.
Daarvan evens het is een geweldige probleem met loslopende dieren wat voor die voertuigen kan inloop en ook verwijs eerst hier specifiek naar die voertuigen waar die kern afval voert.
There's also a problem with stray animals that can walk in front of these vehicles, and we especially referring to the vehicles that transport these nuclear waste.
Die pad draak in een geweldige sintplaat toestand, soos Otto altijd sê, irrigation, en die sintplaat pad is so erg dat dieseldrommel wat achter blare staan, was ook. En dan het is ook gesien dat die vrachtmotors sy diesel begin skuim as gevolg van die geweldige skinning wat daar veroorsaak, en dat in die daarige dieselpomp nie die diesel verder pomp nie, daar gaan staan die lorries.
We also have a problem with the corrugation on the road, and another problem is the barrels of diesel that transported on the lorries, they usually burst, and then the diesel also makes a foam, and then it makes that the lorries can't perform as they should.
Dan sit dus ook my probleem dat wanneer dit gereen het, alle laagtes en riviertjies is daar geen oorbrug nie, en voertuie kan nie die pad omry, die moet letterlik daar en achter staan tot die riviere afgeloop het, en dat daar geen waarschuwingstekens opgerig word, en dit veroorzaak ook gevaar.
There are also no bridges over rivers, so after heavy rain it's not accessible, and vehicles must wait for caves for the river to settle down so that they can cross the river.
Die plaaslike munisipaliteit is op die oomblik in 'n poging om van die gebiede ter die slegste gedeeltes te herstel, en hulle gooi modder op die pad, en wat dan vasgeraal word, word vasgeraal het, en toe onlangs het so 3 mm gereen, en na 3 mm gereen, het op daardie spesifieke dag, op daardie spesifieke nacht, het 8 voertuie die pad gebruik waarvan 4 van die pad afgeloop het. 2 van hulle het behoort aan Valkwit.
Well, our community is busy fixing these bad areas of the roads, and they throw mud on the roads, but after only 3 milliliters of rain, it was a very bad situation, and 8 vehicles made use of that very road that day, and 2 vehicles of carpets got stuck.
Ons het onlangs die geval gehad waar een voertuig gesteel was en die politie uitgekom het en die politie hulle voertuig omgegooi het, en hulle nog een voertuig ontwiet, en die voertuig van die politie is ook omgegooid toe hulle die ambulance ontwiet en uit ook geraak.
Recently we had a case where a vehicle was stolen, the police was found, but the vehicle got stuck and it turned over, then another police vehicle was called and that also turned over, and then the ambulance was called and the ambulance also turned over.
Voordat ek my collega meneer Nel in die woord stel, wil ek net vir laatste sy opmerking maak, agbare voorsitter. Ons hoor en sien baie in die media dat ons president aangehaal word van dinge wat hy gedoen het wat die media nie mee saamstem nie, maar die een ding wat ons gereeld hoor is dat ons president praat van ekonomiese groei, verbetering van infrastruktuur en werkskepping. En daarmee stem ek met hom nie 100% saam, en is het my wens dat die ons vandag gaan bouwsaam wees, dat hier 3 vliee met 1 klap kan slaan, dat al 3 die aspecten wat die president of Homer kan aanraak.
Before I conclude my presentation, so that my colleague can continue, we are about a lot of things that the president said, and I want to quote what he said, or I want to agree with it. And the president talks about economic growth, job creation, and infrastructure, and this is where I want to battle with the president, and I think that is also a way in which we can address many issues at the same time.
Mijn dank je, Akbar Koosheter. Akbar Koosheter, Akbar Leden, ongeveer 22 kilometer van Springbok, 5 meter zetten geleden, namelijk Weventein, Kamasis, Noude Vier, Heringtein en Bouzoek. En ons mag allemaal gebruik maken van die R3-5 jaarlijke pad dat daar geleerd is.
Honorable Minister, thank you for the opportunity. Around 92 kilometers from Springbok, there are quite locations, and we all make use of the R355, the road that is in a very great state.
Agwar Voorzitter, daar is geen winkelcentrums, polistaties, klinieken en hospitalen naar ons geleden. Dat is net naar Springbok, naar diezelfde pad.
Honorable Chairperson, there is no shopping centers, no police, no clinics, nothing in our area, and this is all on the same road.
Ons kan die plekken bereiken, ons kan niet de telecommunicatie bereiken, want ons heeft geen telefoon, cellfoon en internet faciliteiten. Zodoende moet ons naar die pad de sprong op uitkomen.
It's very difficult for communication because we have no phones and no cell phones. And communication is very difficult, and that's why we must make use of that road.
Ons is ook onderhierop om meteen twee boerderijen aan te gaan als opkomende boeren. Ons kan niet die rechte gelden krijgen in de markt af niet, want tenzij je waar die markt er recht is, dan kan ons niet bereid komen als gevolg van die pad.
We have lots of small farming that we do, and as upcoming farmers, it's also difficult to reach the market when the market is right for us because we have to struggle with this road that's in a bad condition.
Die woord achtergeblevene gemeenschap komt eerst hier tot terecht.
The term marginalized community comes to its full right in this case.
Ons heeft gedurende die winter bloemenpracht in de Makwanen. Wat die toeristen kan meebrengen, maar hulle kan daar niet komen, want we zien die kans om de diertjes te voeten die water is niet.
In winter we have a beautiful display of flowers in the Mekland, but it's very difficult for tourists to reach the area because they don't want to drive with a fancy vehicle on the bad road.
Achtbare voertuigen en achtbare lieden, ons spreek ons misnoegen uit dat onze even dankbaar wees als dat kan naar ons gekeken wordt. Want ons heeft opgemerkt onlangs dat zo ongeveer 20 kilometer van Caris af op die N7 is een pad gevier.
We will be very happy and very glad if you can look at us and sort this problem out. 20 kilometers from Caris, now it has also been touched.
Die pad is gevier van die NEC David Roy. Leid daar en daar ongeveer net 300 gemeenschapsleden en ons gemeenschapsleden van die 5 dorpen is ongeveer 5000 leden bedaagd.
Dat is only because the MEC, David, Roy, Station en there's only like 300 community members, but while the road that we must use for 5000 people are not being taught.
Baie dankie, achtbare voorzitter en achtbare leren, ik waardeer u dat u ons aangehoord. Baie dankie.
Thank you very much, Chairperson and honorable members. I really appreciate the fact that you listen to us.
Thank you very much, members of the committee, Mr. Nell and Mr. Itzu. Juni, I didn't want to misstyle your, or miss sound your saying. honorable members, I am going to request the department to respond before we can engage with the situation. Why is she as you have it? Ray Andrew, Nan Makwanich. How was yours? Wait. Yeah. Are you displaying it up there?
I said I was thinking so that I can be clear.
Finish
this. Yes, thank you.
Honorable members, he wants to display it there so that the community can be able to have just the kind of overall synopsis of what is happening from the Department of Transport. Yeah. Ray Andrew. Oh, you buy sophisticated gadgets so that you deprive us. Important is the committee. Strip back those documents, but give the committee so that they can be able to follow up. Are you arranging something? Why is it?
Thank you.
Is it working? Waiting. In the meantime, while it's warming up, let's talk to the presentation that you have given us.
Thanks, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. Let me just start by apologizing for being a little bit late because of the flight. And also maybe to just to report that I was on leave. I just came yesterday, and I was told that I have to come here and report on the Route 355. Thanks very much. I'll just go quickly through the presentation that you prepared in response to the complaints that we received from the community of Northern Cape. It covers, I think, it covers the background of the roads investigation that were conducted, engagement with the roads authorities, findings, action taken by the department, feedback from the province, and way forward. Those are the topics that I will quickly talk through.
Ek wil net verskoning maak, want my vlug was vertraag en ek was ook op verlof, en ek gaan die voorlegging maak oor die pad 355, ons gaan praat in Noordkap, ons gaan die klagte bespreek, sowel in agtergronde, gesprekke wat gehou is en die vastkomste.
Under background, Honorable Chairperson, the department received a letter from the Honorable Veronica van Dijk, who is the member of Parliament on the 19th of November 2015, about a petition signed by residents of Rooifontein and Kamasis.
Met de achtergrond, dus een brief gekregen van die afwaarder Veronica van Dijk op 19 november 2015 en dat was oor een petitie van die gemeenschappen van Rooifontein, die pad tussen Rooifontein en Kamakasis.
When this report came to the department, it was about the upgrading of the roads, which was believed to be a national road.
Toen die verslag bij ons aangekom het, was het omtrent die pad wat nationale pad is.
The residents of Rooifontein and Kamasis, as well as the local farmers, are demanding for this particular road, which is 355, to be upgraded from gravel to surface.
Die inwoners, ofwel as die boere van Rooifontein en Kamasis, vra dat die hele pad opgegradeer moet word.
It was initially alleged that the road in question is a national road. I think I've spoken to this, which belongs to Sangra. And let me get to the second one. So, based on the perception of the location of the route, Sandral and the Northern Cape Province were consulted to determine ownership of the route.
There was an aanname that the part of Sandral behoort in onder hierdie persepsie daar tussen Sandral en die Noordkaap regering besluit die eindelijk die eienaar van hierdie part is.
According to the preliminary investigation, the route which is R355 is the last stretch of the route and footing from Springbok to Falmouth.
Hierdie pas, die laatste stuk tussen die R43 en M14 is die stuk tussen Springbok en Falmouth.
And based on information that we have already gathered, it is a gravel road in a very poor condition that could result in a terrible accident and loss of life. That was indicated by the committee. Okay. Based on that, there is an engagement with the route authorities. It was determined that the road belongs to the Northern Cape Department of Roads and Public Works. I can continue. Okay. The province indicated that the road is a gravel road and is in effect, it's being bladed on a monthly basis since 2015. Upgrading from gravel to surface in the province is based on the amount of traffic on the road as per the policy. The findings from the department is that the department has a detailed evaluation data on all roads in the Northern Cape, and therefore all roads are prioritized through a sound engineering based system. The roads have an average annual daily traffic count at 6 hours for 67 vehicles, and of which 60 of those vehicles are light vehicles. This is extremely low volume according to the report that we got. Low volume of traffic compared to the provincial gravel road network. action taken by department. The Minister of Transport was informed about the condition of the road and the petition that was received from the community. The Minister is in support of the demands by the community for upgrading in order to strengthen the nuclear belt or the nuclear project that has been highlighted for the transportation of the wheat, and recommended the province to prioritize the road upgrade. The province was made aware of the Minister's recommendation. The Honourable Mrs. Veronica van Dijk was also informed about the process that has been ongoing and the position of the province. Feedback from the province. The road 355 has an average annual daily traffic count of 67, I've already indicated, 67 vehicles at peak, of which 50 are light vehicles, and the road has extremely low traffic volume, and also the road is not on provincial plan for upgrade, as attention is being paid to some of the roads that have been identified by the province based on the protest actions that have been taking place in the province in between 2014 and 2015. The province is currently experiencing budgetary constraints, and as a result, some of the road upgrades have to be suspended due to the budget. So maybe what I can indicate is that the roads in the most of the roads in the province are in a bad condition, and the initiative or the actually what we try to do as a department to try and assist the province in terms of prioritizing the province, it doesn't have that much because of the budgetary constraints. I think that is one of the issues. And one day they were looking at the province, the roads that have been prioritized in terms of their strategic road network, and they are only focusing their budget in those particular roads. And lastly, what we request to do was to ensure that we as the National Department of Transport, we will commit to work closely with the province and ensure that we assist them in terms of prioritizing the highly strategic road network, and also working with the province to ensure that we go outside government and see if we can leverage some additional funding from the mining houses as well as the private sector. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you very much.
Before I give to honourable members, let me find out from the community the questions that they would like to put to the department.
Hulle praat van, op die afware lid het gepraat van die paaie maandeliks gekrapel word. Dit is een ding wat nie gebeur nie. Die instandhouding van die paaie, die management wat daar aangaan, daar nie se verstaan dat die systeem nie. En die ander probleem wat is mense, dit is dat die moet sê nou maar die ingenieurs, die civiele werk wat daar gedoen moet waar, as hulle vandag op brug wou, waar het hy weggespoel, want dit is nie werkelijk een civiele ingenieurs die goed is opbrug.
The Honourable Member spoke about the road that's being scrapped every month or monthly, but I think those people don't even understand their own system. And another thing relates to the engineering works. There are no proper civil engineers who build bridges, because if a bridge is built today and it rains the next day, then the bridge just collapses.
In
that
is also iets dat dit wil noem vir die vergadering, wat was het er dat die ons het intussen moet de departement staatsveiligheid ook contact gemaakt rondom die vervoer van kernafval, en hulle mening is dat die hele gedeelte waar die kernafval op vervoer moet word van Vrymok af tot de Paalkus en dan ook verder tot de Bitterfontein, omdat daar kernafval van die syde afkom van Koeberg gekal het, dat daar ook daar hele pad ook geteer word. Dit is hulle aanbeveling wat hulle gemaakt het, soos het echt hulle verstaan het, wat waar was.
We also have communication with states, national state security, about the transport of nuclear waste, and their recommendation is the route from Springbok to Falkers, also to Bitterfontein, should be tied, because that is also part of the network that's being used to transport this nuclear waste.
Dank je wel voor de suggesties als daar. Ik wil mijn collega ook welkom daar liggen.
Waar is het? Wat zijn de questions voor je, sir?
Thanks,
Chair. Thanks, Chair, once more. I I think I'm not aware of the condition of the personnel within the province in terms of the engineering, that they don't have a proper civil engineer to do that, know how to construct the roads because of the condition of the roads are deteriorated immediately after the roads have been completed. I think that is one of the issues that we'll make a follow-up in terms of that. But what I can assure is that we are in constant contact with the province. If the road is a provincial route, we work closely with the province to ensure that the standards that they use to construct the roads is within the protocol manual. It's a manual that determines the standards of the road and how to go about building the roads. So those are the things that we'll look into if those are true that the Honourable Member, the Honourable Committee Leader is saying. And then on the second one, the issue of the road being a strategic road because it also transports waste and nuclear waste is something that the department is taking very seriously. And the minister also gave a direction that we need to assist the province in terms of prioritizing that particular road. But as I say, that when the roads have been upgraded, there's a lot of vehicles that have been looked at. They will definitely have to set traffic count at the number of vehicles that are using that route, whether it is feasible for that route to be upgraded. So that is what the province has to do. And I think they've conducted their own studies, and then based on those studies, it's not feasible. However, they've considered the usefulness of the routes and also the class of the routes based on function. So that is something that I think will assist the province to look into that, even though we don't promise that it should be upgraded. But looking at what the minister has recommended as well is something that we'll look into. Thanks, Chairperson.
Verdeling van die fondse om die baie te werk, werk op 'n per capita basis in die Noord-Kaap is 'n laag bevolkte gebied. Ons sit met 80% van die land se paaie, maar ons sit met 4% van die land se bevolking. Nou word die begroting vir paaie werk word per capita toegedien en nie vir die hoeveelheid paaie nie. Dit maak dat die baie onbegaanbaar is. Ek wil net lastens gedachte was hy dat daar sal nooit ontwikkeling kom, daar sal nooit vooruitgang kom by ons kommunale boere is daar nie hulle infrastruktuur is nie. Kommunale boere gaan by ons daar by plaaswerk is bly as daar nie verbetering in infrastruktuur kom nie. Dankie vir
the conditions of the road, the problem can be taken back to the fact that the division of money for repairs to these roads are well up per capita. We have a low population in the Northern Cape, but we have 80% of the roads, but only a 4% of the national population in our province. And I just want to say that no development will take place for our communal farmers because there is no infrastructure.
I think that was a statement which was put by the member. It doesn't necessarily need to be responded to. Members, I'm going to open so that we can be able to engage with what the community has just indicated. Can I show an indication? Honorable Matakan, Honorable Mulauti, Honorable Gunsina, Honorable Keita, Honorable Shibane. Let me start with Honorable Khale.
Thanks, sir. I think Nomza Nelo and Nomza Nejuni are raising a very critical aspect of those roads, which affects them as their community and also affects the business and the economy of that area. And then, as the Department of Transport, we are saying we are the heartbeat of the economy of the country. And we should be able to respond towards this particular challenge. My essence is that the issue of bridges big damage. It's a challenge that the tournament has been facing with. If maybe Waziri can be able to clarify to us, because what does the tournament have in challenges in terms of fishing bridges? Because if a bridge is damaged, I mean, how do cars cross around on those roads? They won't be able to pass. And in terms of the physical experience that we also see, the pictures that you just shown us, shows that it becomes difficult for cars to travel in that very route. What I want to know that what is the department going to do about it? Are they going to respond, or are they having a challenge in terms of being able to respond towards that particular aspect? But probably the other thing is that you can be able also to give us an estimation of your time response towards this challenge. But furthermore, Chair, I'll suggest that we look another side to this route. I think we are now changing a program to come visit your site to go and see, because as the department is going to give us the time frame that how long we're going to try and respond to this thing, we must be able to go and see ourselves whether they're able to respond towards this thing, because we don't just sit here and engage with him, but also don't go there to go and check whether is the work happening or not. Because I think that's what we're able to do. Thank you, Chair.
Well, I thought this was the first
The two community members indicated to me that they indicate when they need interpreting, and they said it's fine for them.
That's good. That's progress. That's good progress. So, thank you very much, Bernoulli. I just have three questions. Eerste vraag naar u toe. Wat heeft u om de zee in de Pemba gemaakt dat het is maar net 67 voor zee wat u had gebruikt in een jaar? Heeft u toekennen daarvan? Dat is de eerste vraag. U heeft misschien het woord gezien dat de getal van karren wat u had gebruikt. Dus maar net 67 per jaar.
Per
dag. Dus het is per dag.
Oké,
per dag. Ik wil vragen, wat het geeft, misschien een commentaar daarop? I'm not done. So, Lisa, we maken maar een woord daarop. Tweede. Je zegt dat voor 12 jaar geneem, van het eerste jaar tot 12 jaar, tot je liever in het parlement komt. Nu wil ik vragen, wanneer naast het EU met de provinciale regering, namelijk het departement van transport en vervoer in Europa, in contact gekomen? Wanneer lang laatst het hebben die? En toen was hij er, had ik voor jullie gezegd dat we toen gepraat in de standheden van het pad. Dat is de tweede vraag. The third question is the English question. Chair, I just want to find out from the department. I think maybe the first thing is that the picture that we see shows a kind of bad state of the road for connectivity purposes. Now, the question I want to ask the department. When I was trying to read the speech from the MEC of Transport and Public Works in the Northern Cape, I don't find anything said about this particular subject that we're talking about. So I want to ask the department specifically, when did you have a conversation with them? And what are you saying you're going to do with respect, because I hear you speaking on behalf of national, but you're saying you're having a good working relationship. So I just want to find out from you, when last did you engage with them? Do they indicate to you that there is a conversation that is taking place between them and the community that is before us at this moment? Thank you.
I just want to ask three questions. The first two will be in Afrikaans and the last one in English. As we saw on the presentation, there's only 67 vehicles used versus road per day. Does the member of the community have any comment on this? Second question, the member said that it took you 12 years to get to Parliament since you started with this process. I just want to know, do you, or when, or in communication with the Department of Transport in the Northern Cape, and when last did you have a discussion, and what was the deliberations all about?
Yeah, I've got a question. Can I call that word?
Once, just write all the questions. Once they have finished asking questions and talking to the issues, then can respond. Honorable Mlauzi.
Thank you. I'm a reinforcer. But no Afrikaans France. No, thanks very much, Chairperson, and thanks very much for the community to come and address us. What you raise is a concern which we have the interest on, more especially when it comes to accidents. Because when accidents happen, it comes to raise the statistics of the country sides of the accident, like our roads, and we don't care about the people on roads. So we are very concerned. We thank you very much for the need to come to address us. But I just want to know from you, the community, first, about this nuclear transportation, which company is transporting this waste, nuclear waste, from Landawa to Springbok Road. The other thing, Chairperson, is I'm supporting Honorable Sundayewele about coming there, to come to have a offside visit because it's like the bridges, if they put the bridges and the bridges broken, it's like the department or the provincial roads, they are not doing anything. So remember we went to Madiwei where we saw the road was very much damaged, white. So it is a concern for us of this fixing of the bridges, because once the bridge is wiped away or is broken, it means the road ceases to work. So another thing to the department, I'm very much surprised when for let's say 20 years in democracy, when you are not sure of our road network, whether the road network 35, is it a provincial or is it a national road, then you have to investigate now and find out that, oh, it's a last stretch of the N14, it belongs to the province. So it's a surprise for us. If you are the National Development Transport, not aware of the road network in the country, so what are you doing there in the National Development Transport? Because you are there to oversee the provinces of the country, because what is sovereign state here. So you can come and tell us that we're not sure whether the road was provincial or national. Ah, right. After all, we found out that now it depends on the province. So I think that is not acceptable. So it means there's no communication between you and the provinces. And the department, I think you also on your explanation that we will try to contact the mining houses, and we are also concerned about this company which is breaking our roads. Not they're putting a commitment to them. What are they contributing to that road to try to help the community there? But maybe because you said you will start to engage on that, but it's unfortunate that we're starting that thing very late after the community has raised it after 12 years struggling. So the department must try to help the community. So in your presentation, you talk about the study of the 6 T7 vehicles, 60 light vehicles, which have recently started on that road, 35. So I wanted to know, did the study, such studies conducted to the road, to the NEC, because we heard that there is a road which is had for the NEC to go into the NEC's village. So we want to know the study also for that NEC road, because you concentrated on the study, and you said because of this study, you want to make the road for them, because there is no enough money. But for the NEC of road village, there was money, there was no study. So if the study was there, can you disclose to us? So we want better life for all people, not for certain people. As the former president, President Mandela said, better life for all. Thank you.
Don't go to the Afara voorzitter, because then I sound like Groeneval. I think we've missed something very important here. We're talking about nuclear waste, we're talking about a mine, we're talking about we should gain an impression of what happens at Falpas. Because at Falpas, you get an impression of how very cautiously, very delicately, nuclear waste is handled and treated, and how they actually go about maneuvering this nuclear waste from the truck onto the surface, doing certain inspections, then from that surface, through a lot of processes, where they then finally, very delicately, bury these barrels. Barrels of two kinds, one that is cast in concrete, and another one which is a steel drum, which is loaded and packaged with such care and specification in Tanandava to make sure that it is treated in a particular way for one reason only, the nuclear threat. The damage which can be caused if the contents gets exposed. Now, taking the care and diligence into account that happens at Tanandava or Tanandava and the Falpas, in between, you've got a tarred road for a particular reason up until Springbok, but then from Springbok to Falpas, the last 120 odd kilometers, it suddenly doesn't matter how we go about with nuclear waste, and it can jump and be exposed to this very bad road. So I think there's a different standard and a criteria that needs to be applied than just by the measurement of frequency of vehicles, and to allow that to determine whether this run should be taught or not. We are dealing with compliance to a particular standard, a particular national nuclear waste management standard. My question is whether that standard would allow exposure to the type of treatment that happens between Springbok and Falpas. That's something else than to argue just because we don't have the amount of frequency of traffic, therefore we can't consider it. It's the wrong criteria. So we should expand and think holistically about this, and then also certainly look at what international standard requires of us, and then find some special national funded project and formulate this to this particular route and just do it. I would like to know whether the route from Kuluk, which also dumps waste in Falpas, whether they use the same road from Springbok to Falpas or whether they use a different one. Because that would then obviously also escalate the necessity, because then we must also get a projection of the production that we are dealing with at Tanandava and at Kuluk, because we must plan for the future. If this is the selected nuclear waste site, then we must plan for the future and facilitate this. Isn't it then better to consider rail or something else? Because if this is the decision, that nuclear situation, why do we expose normal traffic plus residents along the route to a potential intended project that would last for the next 100 years, because that's where we decided how we will deal with our nuclear waste. Then we must make this a priority project and give it a separate line of thinking, because that's what we plan to do and deal with our nuclear waste. Where are the minds in all of this? We're speaking all around it, but the minds should have this information. So where is the contact between the Department of Transport with this particular mind to assess what type of nuclear are we dealing with here, what type of treatment, and in terms of international standard, is it fine to travel it over a gravel road or not? Then I have a problem in general with the criteria of using the number of trucks and traffic, to use that as a criteria in the consideration of upgrading a road or not. And my question to the department, are we distinguishing between a bicycle and a 60-ton truck? Or are we just ticking off numbers over a certain period of time and then consider the frequency of traffic irrespective of the impact difference between a bucket and a 60-ton truck, and then decide, no, the frequency is too low and we don't distinguish between a bucket and a truck because they have different impacts on us? You talk about sound engineering based system. I don't think this is very sound. I think this is very old age. I think this is outdated, because certainly we must also take economic criteria in account and not creation potential. If we have a specific rural area where there is a particular economic benefit, then we should add that to the criteria and also make use of the criteria of frequency of travel. But certainly we should start thinking differently, and we should also argue for the benefit and decentralization programs that we should consider. And economic benefit and development of the area should motivate the upgrading of a road in a rural area, because we can't just put all our money in the urban areas and forget about rural areas. Chair, lastly, I would recommend that as a matter of urgency, irrespective of funding of any sort, warning signs and signage, traffic signage and so on is very important on this route, and that should be prioritized irrespective of where we find the funding or whatever, because I can just imagine what it must be like to travel in that area without lights. There are no road lights and street lights there. So you depend on your own vehicle's lights, and you need warning signs there. There are curves, there are ditches, we saw the photos, that must be prioritized irrespective of anything that we decide here in the committee, whether we want to go have a look at the Mapland flowers or not. But when we get there, the signs must be up already, please. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, it's actually quite difficult to speak after Honourable Lusinger, but I think that I'm 100% in agreement with her. Chair, I just want to, I think there was a bit of a translation problem, and not meaning it's funny, but my understanding was, and I would just like to get it whether I'm right or not, it is that the roads, according to our guests, the roads are not laid on a monthly basis. Okay, and therefore I think we need to find out what is the reason, why it is not done. Then is the department actually exercising oversight over the property? But because I really think that we get a report of what people want us to see. Okay, and are you actually performing oversight over the province to see what truth is in what they are saying? That would also cover on the NC Royce Road, if I can call it that. You know, I also have a problem with the criteria that is used, because I think we need to think about it differently as well. If we are saying that it's an average of 67 vehicles, it is serving 5,000 community members. That alone should say to us that there's a problem, there's no economic development, there's nothing. It's only 60 vehicles that's actually travelling to Springbok in between. I would say the last item would be that what are we doing? You know, I think that it shouldn't end here. The department that needs to be involved, okay, is not only Abakai's going to be agriculture, environmentalism, all of us. Let's uplift this community. I mean, no communication. Who of us can live without the internet or without a cell phone or without a telephone? This is reality. I do not know what it is. I would say definitely Department of Education, Department of Environmental Affairs, Communication, Tourism, Agriculture should also all be made aware, of the circumstances, and let's really try and assist and uplift the community. Then the department said that they will work to try and see what we can do. I think we must start off with Velindaba and Kuburg. They are the ones that should be, especially sending waste from Kuburg to Springbok. Or, you know, I mean, how many kilometers is that? Close to
700
kilometers. Therefore, we need to look at alternatives, but, you know, like rail alternatives, but that's going to take a long time, but in the meantime, there must be immediate work done on the roads.
I'm a bit confused whether is this a relevant platform for this discussion or not. I'll cite my case. Number one, this matter this one doesn't need an interdepartmental. As my colleagues alluded to. Because you can't deal about some of these letters because they touch mineral energy, also environment, also tourism, transport, etc. Then also, with the document itself, on page 5, the presentation from the department, noted by paragraph 1, whereby it was determined that this road belongs to National Northern Cape Department of Roads and Public Works. You see, that's the fact that it's in the department time. And another thing which was raised by the presenters, of which it raised also an eyebrow, that they were worried about some of the diesel was speaking and something that and they worried about that some of the waste from the nuclear it can drop something like that. Obviously that can't be true because when they transport the IPs, if you deal with something like nuclear, it is more than asbestos. Remember the issue of asbestos whereby it's a case where in abroad the things have happened some time ago. And it's true to say, Honorable Mansunga, about the shop in international norms and standards, if you talk about nuclear. Then also, the question all which was raised by my colleagues about the company is true. If you talk about the company, you talk about social responsibility. Any company with our laws in South Africa, any company which is doing the business around a certain community, it having a responsibility, a social responsibility, in terms of economically benefiting that society. That's the that is the message. The major message is serious, but it includes a lot of people. And you see, to summarize this issue, as I indicated the person, that number one, on page 3, that was a letter which was written by whatever member of Veronica Fandate. I don't know what criteria she used. Whether did she consulted with the provincial leadership in terms of transport and other it's not clear. Yes, I agree, it is right for her to process if there is to inform the national participation. But the question, what role have they played before this was transported to this time? And also, which is worrying me, Chairperson, if you go to the presentation on page 7, you see, whereby they said the minister supported the demands of the community. And that's like I said, I'm confused. The promise was made aware of the minister's recommendation. What are those recommendations? Because how can we participate? Because we don't know those recommendations. We don't have anything in front of us as part of those recommendations. That means something is happening, but we are not aware of. It might happen, there is a progress, but we don't know. We don't know. Therefore, that's why Chester said, myself, I don't say that we must go there. But we must get more information before we go there. Because here, in the position, they say, saying that, you know, was this communication between the members of parliament from that particular area with the Minister of Transport and the recommendation which we need. What are those recommendations? We don't know. So I'll rest my case there, but this one is very, very serious because it's a deal. Okay, it must close it, it must do what? Even in the sea. If you recall well, I don't know which year, there was a ship which was spotted. They wanted to come and dump it around in our offshore, rather in Cape Town or Devon. They wanted to, from international, I don't know which country it was. It was a very serious matter, international. So, we can't take it light. But we better get more information in order for us to jump. And like now, we don't have those information. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. And thank the community for approaching the committee and welcome their presentation. I think towards the end, Honorable Spanda has covered me, Chairperson, that before we make specific recommendations, being here in Cape Town, it will be proper that maybe when we visit Northern Cape, before we go specifically to this room, we get a detailed presentation by the MEC there on the MTF budget in terms of the road competence and what they are doing in the entire roads. Because sometimes just to pick up one project and arrive at a conclusion, will be found to be wanting. By the time they respond, will look like as if we don't understand what we are doing. So it's good that the community has raised this matter, but we also have to do the work also with the provincial and the national department. If the time we choose to go there, let's go via the provincial government. So there is a specific matter, but give us the bigger picture of what they're doing in terms of the road function. So that we appreciate what they're doing, their difficulties, and how do they want to approach cases like this one. Because we'll say we want the rain. Building a rain is not cheap, Chairperson, now. We've got students, they want a 0% increase. The priorities are difficult now for government. But just today, we must put the rain for this one. I mean, let's not make specific recommendations, Chairperson, which by the time we meet the executive, either the minister or the MEC, will realize that we made them in depth. So we appreciate that the community had a problem and they must be assisted. But I will emphasize that we will get our provincial colleagues to give us a briefing on aspects like this and other related cases. From there, we'll be able to make informed recommendations. Because we can't take decisions. We are not an executive arm of government. That this is what we must do. We must be wary. Where do we end? The separation of powers. So we must also take that into consideration so that we don't venture into another arm of government. But make them to be aware that we have this problem and it must be attended to. Thank you, Richard.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mashangani. Thank you very much, Honorable. I think it is very clear, Wachi, as to the route that the portfolio committee would want to take.
But mindful of the fact that we don't want to encroach into the executive and executing authority's role, I am aware of the fact that the grants that you give to provinces, sometimes you are able to indicate to the province to say consider this type of an area, consider this type of an area, which actually becomes a necessity for the national department to can be able to do. I was trying to think of that area in Japan where they had a crisis in terms of the nuclear waste burst. Fukushima. Fukushima. And this we don't want to see a second Fukushima in the country, which actually will be brought about by some things which actually could have been prevented in a way. I'm just trying to say to yourself that as professionals, probably you may want to engage with the professionals in the Northern Cape, looking at the grants and advise them. It may not be the total grant that you're giving to the Northern Cape, but it be a grant which is saying we will face in the 120 kilometer plus, which they are speaking to. If you take it on a phase-in program, it able is to assist the community, and it will also assist the users. Remember, we part of the things that as the Republic of South Africa were talking to is that the nuclear program is the thing that we are looking at going forward. But if we're looking at nuclear energy without necessarily having a way of how do we deal with the nuclear waste, it definitely becomes a challenge. Because assuming that these two feeders into Falkland, your Pelindaba and Kuber, feeds into Falkland and the whole routes, Honorable Musinga, they use the gravel road somewhere, they will travel from the south, and then it arrives somewhere, there's no road. It travels from the north, somewhere there is no hard road, which actually is a feeder into Falkland. So these to me are the considerations that the technicians in the department should be able to consider and be able to advise one another with the technicians in the Department of Transport and Public Works in the Northern Cape. But I lastly want to say, I fully agree with my colleagues. We're going to engage you again, YG, to say, I'm sorry, I'm supposed to say Mr. Ramaphosa, not YG. To say to yourself that let's get information from the Department of Public Works, from Department of Roads and Public Works in the Northern Cape, which is just giving us an indication as to within the SEEF what exactly are the issues that they are considering in terms of this role. But also let's also get information of what are the other things that you as the National Department considers to can be able to help the Department of Roads and Public Works in the Northern Cape so that we are able to realize the vision. The community members have said it very clear and loud to say we've got a number of issues which actually they see as becoming a spin-off to the Republic of South Africa. You've got tourism, the Namaqualand flowers, you've got agriculture, you've got the mines. Now we're talking of the energy waste dumping in that particular area. To me, I take it that these are the economic issues which need to be enhanced as we go into that area, but not forcing the Department of Transport and Roads, Public Works in the Northern Cape to say, by hook or by crook, these are the things that you need to do, but advising them. So we're going to give you, let's give you 2 weeks, within which you should be able to respond to the committee as to the work that you have done with the the Department of Roads in the Northern Cape in terms of analysis of the economies of scale, in terms of the strategic review of the MTEF, looking at your grants, looking at everything holistically, and also taking into consideration what the minister has said, that she fully agrees with the proposal from the community. It's a very loaded statement which has been written here, that the minister agrees with what the community is saying. We're not looking at the economic issues alone, but we're looking also into the social issues. We're looking into the environmental issues. Because when you look at the social issues, even the police then comes to deal with crime prevention and crime-related issues, and then it doesn't reach the end of the road. It's a problem. If an ambulance is coming to pick up a pregnant woman who is supposed to go to hospital, and then it ends somewhere in the middle of nowhere, it's also a challenge. These are the things that I'm talking about in terms of the social investment that we need to do in that particular area. But having said that, I am very, very concerned in terms of the environmental issues, that in the eventuality we bought one of these trucks, 7 trucks a day, that is what is being said here, that goes to Falcons. If the eventuality one of these trucks gets derailed, and whether it's a concrete, whether it's whatever, and then the nuclear waste gets dumped in that particular area, I will not put in South Africa, I will not put in the Republic into a dangerous situation. So these are the things that I'm saying. Look, let's look at the economic issues, let's also look at the social issues, but also look at the environmental issues as holistically. Where do we want to go in this type of a situation? But that's why I'm saying, I'll give you tools within which you can be able to respond intensely to the committee, because the committee is of the view that we need to visit this area. At any rate, at some stages last year, we were supposed to go to Springbok. We were supposed to have an oversight visit to Springbok, which never happened. And I think as we will be doing that, at a later stage, we're not saying now in this financial year, but we will be looking into going to do oversight as we had planned previously, and be able to, when we do the Springbok oversight, then we can be able to include this other one that has just come to our shores. But I think, let me give it to you, YG, for the response, and then the community members will come in, and then we'll be able to see how we are ready. But this is the first observation and suggestions that we are making as a committee, to say, let's look into this, and then come back to us within 2 weeks so that we can be able to see the magnitude of the problem, because these are the magnitude of the problems that we are facing. But I must also say to the committee secretary and your team that for sure, having listened to what the community has said, we need to share this information with the Portfolio Committee on Minerals. We need to share this information with the Portfolio Committee on Tourism, on Agriculture, on Communication in particular, and Energy. Because these are the critical things that the committee has mentioned. Energy waste is being rerouted to a particular area. There is no communication, including cell phones and what have you. There is agricultural activities which are taking place. And I know that with agricultural products, once they are on the gravel road, by the time they reach the market, they are a waste. In that regard, by the time they reach the market, they are a waste. It can be how good a product, but if it gets really hard on that gravel road, it becomes a product which actually is not very valuable at any rate. We've also spoken the issues of the mines in that particular area. So let's share this information with the other portfolio committees that we have identified here so that they also can be able to look into the situation and be able to say what role they believe they should be able to share. Obviously through a Department of Energy, they will be able to look into the Pendaba and Kuberg issues, and the others will be able to look into those things. But we must also make recommendations to these committees on how we see their role in this whole situation, because we can have a situation where you don't have a network when we've got about 4 or 5 suppliers of networking the Republic of South Africa. The Portfolio Committee on Communication should be able to interact with any other that can be able to go and see in terms of business programs in that particular area. So those are the two things that I felt that we should be able to do on our part. And I believe that to the community, we take this as work in progress, which we will be able to, on a regular basis, once we are working on this matter, come back to you as a community to say, in terms of this, this is how far we have gone. But even by the time we come and say we're doing oversight, we would have had engagement with yourself, working with the department in the Northern Cape, but also working with the National Department. YP, if you can speak to the issues, then I'll give to the community, and then we will take them forward thereafter.
Okay, thanks. Thanks very much, Chairperson. I think some of them you just gave a direction on how they need to be dealt with, as they've been raised. But there are critical issues that were raised here, and I think I also believe that they need to be addressed. The issue of the criteria for upgrading of the routes, I think, is one thing that has been raised, that it shouldn't be the volume of traffic that is operating in the particular area. Because if you look at the current volume, the criteria that we use, particularly for the CRMG, Kambasong, it restricts other provinces, more especially poor provinces with low population, the potential to maintain their routes based on the ground. So those are the things that we are reviewing currently. Because if you look at the Northern Cape, the province is huge with low population, but with a massive network, and of which it doesn't get the budget that will be able to assist the province to maintain those roads. So that has been really looked into together with the Department of National Treasury. On the issue of the building of bridges, those that are not sustainable or just go down, the condition goes down very quickly. As I indicated earlier, we do have a national manual or a guideline that the COTO committee is a committee that maybe I'll have to highlight this one, that we do have a committee that is a national, that looks at all the roads, provincial, national, and regional roads. And that committee is comprised of national departments with all the roads from the road division from the provinces and also the metro. They sit in that committee and then they come up with the standards for the national standards on how bridges need to be constructed and what material need to be used. I think that one, I'm not sure whether we'll be able to, the department alone will be able to address, but it's something that will be engaged at the national structure, at the COTO committee, in terms of the review of the standards. On the allocation of the allocation of the budget and also the prioritization of the budget, as a Department of Transport, we, as I've indicated also, we are assisting provinces as part of the oversight role. But when it comes to the equitable share allocation from the province, they got the prerogative that they use in terms of where the money needs to go on their prioritization of their through network. So we come very strong when it comes to the money that we appropriate to the provinces, like the Swamba Song, and can give them a guidance to say, in terms of the national route network, these are the strategic route network, and they can be maintained. But with regard to this specific program and problem that the committee from the Upper Cape have indicated, it is a little bit challenging on the side of the department, looking at the concurrent function in terms of the constitution. That we don't actually we can't tap into the authority of the province, but we communicate with them and give them the direction. So the CRMG cannot be able to assist. I think that Chairperson, I just wanted to indicate that the CRMG is not the condition of that CRMG is not allowing the upgrading of the routes. It's only looking at the maintenance of the routes. Except that again, on the existing routes, we can only be able to assist in terms of maintenance. And that is one challenge. Hence, we are saying we are assisting the province in terms of prioritizing that, and we will continue doing that, and we will also engage the forum from the Northern Cape in terms of progress that will be made in that if the province do have money. But the other issue that I want to emphasize is that holistically, the province is under severe budgetary constraints. This is a reality. And I'll say this, if for instance, you remember the roads in Kurumane, the roads that is under Domorolo or Gentle High, we went and asked, refused to go to school for over 6 months because of the road, the condition of the road. We entered into partnership with the Shishen Iron Ore to assist in terms of finding some section of the roads. They did manage to put money upfront that assisted in terms of cooling down the protest action that happened there. And with the province trying to come up with some funding as a part of cooperation. But eventually the mining house, they ended up pulling up or breaking the contract because the province was not able to meet that obligation in terms of the pressure of the rules that they have to raise, because that come from the equitable share, not from the PRMG. So those are the challenges. And for the province to come and commit on a new project, meanwhile, there's a project that that community knows and that the minister has already committed. Our minister and the minister of education and other ministers. So that is the biggest challenge. And lately, is that the province resorted to come and request for permission from the minister to allow the province to can use the whole money of the PRMG to meet that obligation, which is something that the national treasury won't allow. So, hence I'm saying, we will work closely with the province and see how we can assist them to prioritize some of the road network. So I just wanted to highlight that one, Chairperson. And then in terms of the activation of this response, I think the Chairperson did allude that we have got 2 weeks to work with the province and identify what the offense are prior to this MTSF, so that we know exactly what it is that they are planning and where is their challenges and how we can be able to work with them in terms of meeting those. We'll do that, Chairperson, and I think we'll meet up to those timelines. And on the issue of conversation with the province, as I've indicated on one of my slides, that there's a relationship that we have with the province in terms of the monitoring. Yes, we do. And then I think the last time that we have spoken with the province, it was in June, end of June, when we were responding to all these issues when the minister made some commitments and some recommendation that this is one of the strategic route network and we need to prioritize it. And then those were communicated to the province. However, the province indicated that even though they are also see the value of the road, but they don't have a budget. I think that is the issue, but we will keep on communicating with the province. And then on the issue of the thermal housing or the mining houses, whether are we communicating with them or not, yes, we teach, and I also still believe that the same concept that we use in Kampeng and Mpumalanga during the coal haulage era, where we were saying the companies that are using or damaging our road network, they need to come back and also assist in terms of the maintenance of the road network. Although the contract or that partnership came to an end, I think it's something that we can revisit more particularly on this particular issue of the Northern Cape. We can just see if we can't replicate the strategy that we use from that side. Then on the on the roads that on the study that was conducted to determine the 56 and the 60 life cycles that are traversing on that particular route, there was no proper study that was done. All what was done was to do traffic counts on that particular route on the R355, not the whole province, because that was based on the petition that came from the Northern Cape. Yes, so there's no study that was done. So on the issue of the route that that traverses to the MEC's house or village, I'm not aware of it. And then maybe something that the department will investigate and come up with a report. So I'm not sure about that one. I think some of them have been repeated. On the issue of the nuclear waste to be handled by Pelendaba and Kube, I think on this one, the chairperson, as you have recommended, that we need to work closely with our sector departments, like Department of Mineral Resource, and we look at so all these other departments, I think they are directly affected by this program. And for us, it's just that stretch of the route, but there's a lot of issues that need to be addressed. I believe that for safety of the vehicles or the travel routes, we need to bring a lot of stakeholders on board to address this holistically, not in piecemeal approach. So that is something that we'll try and facilitate. A member raised the issue of immediate intervention that we need to come up with. I think they raised the issue of traffic signs, no route markings that are on that particular route, and that makes the route very, very dangerous. So I think those are the issues that we can address as quickly as possible. So we'll address that with the province and see if they can use the in-house equipment that the material that are there to ensure that they erect the road signs and then also do the route markings on the route. Those are the immediate things to lose. Oh, that is the color. Yeah, we'll ensure that they put the road signs. And then I think some of them, they've been, on Satema Songanyi said before we visit and then the committee. Okay, that issue of meeting with the MEC, I think that is what the chairperson has recommended, and I think it can be facilitated from this committee. But at the very same time, we will still engage with our provincial counterparts and ensure that those plans are in place. And wherever there is no progress to be made, then we'll be able to report to all the role players, including the committee. And then on the... I think all of them. With the issue I shall present before you take over, on the issue of the importance of the roads, to say it serves as an economic factor, it will have to create jobs. Those are the factors that we are also considering, and we will work closely with the other factors that have indicated, Chairperson. I think that's all.
Thank you very much.
The last one, it was on moving freight from road to rail. I'll request Mr. Sipo to quickly address it, maybe just to respond on it, Chairperson. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Chair. I think it's important for us to indicate to the committee that as state departments, we agree. Ourselves, the Department of Transport, the Department of Public Enterprises, which manages Transnet, that there is a need to really shift the traditional rail cargoes from road to rail, because you might understand that when traditional rail commodities were deregulated to be transported into the road space around the late 80s, that created a very precarious situation. But as government, our intention it is like probably in the next 5 to 10 years, because currently in the share that is on the road is coming from rail. So our intention through Transnet, which is currently doing over, so their market demand strategy, they're trying to address that, and also the department responsible for policy in this case to putting together a branch line strategy that will see to it that you revitalize some of the branch line approaches that we have as a country. So we wanted to say, Chair, that we are working on something as a department. It's a question of us now really consolidating the partnership with the provinces and also with communities so that when we get to the trial, they're able to identify quite clearly what is that can be done, that can be addressed as a matter of agency. It's not going to be easy, but we are working on the parties to address this matter. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Mr. Nell and Mr. Yune. It's your turn to talk to the matter.
The voorzitter, ik wil net een commentaar liever op die vraag wat ik gehad heb, want dan is die 67 voertuigen wat vandaag loop op die pad.
Yes, Honorable Chairperson, I just want to make a comment that on the 67 bus that makes use of this road every day.
Dit verbaas my nie dat daar net die 67 voertuigen op die pad loop nie. Want as daar nie een pad is, kom ek sê maar toe boop daarvoor dat hoeveel voertuigen loop waar. Daar loop die voertuigen nie, want daar is nie een pad nie.
It doesn't surprise me, there is only this amount of cars on the road every day. But if we look at Table Mountain, there's no cars driving on Table Mountain because there's no road.
Wat ek graag wil verduidelik, daar staan baie karre in die gemeenskap. By elke huis staan omtrent 'n kar. Waarin Kamasies byvoorbeeld loop daar net 4 of 5 karre binne weg in 'n toestand. In Rooifontein seker 6 of 7, waar meneer Nel bly. Die voertuie, die mense kan nie met hulle belasting so laag en hartloos wees. Bekostig om hulle kar te herstel. Dit is werklik 'n probleem, dit is hoekom daar nie eintlik verkeer op die pad is. Soos een lid gereg opgewys het, agbare voorzitter, dat tussen 5000 mense soveel voertuie loop, dan is 'n maatskaplike probleem, daar is 'n ontwikkelingsprobleem, die mense kry nie kans om te ontwikkel, want daar is nie infrastruktuur.
Okay, there are not a lot of cars on the road, but there are cars in Kamasi, there are 4 cars. Away from 6 to 7, but most of these cars are broken and people don't have the money to fix these cars because they are unemployed or they live from the SASSA money. One member also alluded to the fact that there are 5,000 people living there but there are so little cars on the road. This again has to do with the underdevelopment that's taking part in these areas.
Gisteren geweest was dat die kernafval wat daar vervoer mag, maar wat moet ook wel doen, meneer Nel sit met een taxi bezig. Hy was kort van het vervoer. Waar de contracteer hier het departement van onderwijs neem ek aan om kinders te vervoer. Wat zijn risiko dat hy homself bloot om kinders tussen die harper te vervoer op die pad? Is daar mogelijk gebeurd, die ouwers gaan eisen teen om in te hulle alles. Dit is werkelijk kromme risiko, dit maakt die situatie moeilijk.
Okay, now we'll apply, there's also another problem, Mexico, the nuclear waste is being transported. Mr. Nell, you next to me, runs a taxi, he's got a transport business, and he's got a contract with the education department, but there's also a issue that's for him when he transports his children to school. What if an accident happens while he's transporting these children? The parents will certainly put a claim in against Mr. Nell, and then he will be in a very difficult situation.
Ten opzichte van die 12 jaar wat ons sukkel om communicatie te kry, as waar voorzitter, als het ervan gaat, waar net met die mooie lood, daar sit die vraag vrouw, hoe ons die afgelopen 12 jaar gedoen het. Ek wil die politici sy name hier noem nie, maar ons het werkse die briewe vir politici gegeer, in hulle handen vir die sy, en ons het nie ontvangst gekry, of respons gekry, maar op die uiteinde het ons nou recht gekry dat ons nou deur middel van die landbou in die nogal op een gereelde basis met die MEC skakel van oorgaan.
There was a question from one of the members with a nice blue tie that asked us why did it take us 12 years to get any communication. I don't want to get into politics or mention names of politicians, but we actually gave these letters and requests into the hands of politicians, but we never got any response. But luckily, we now have communication between the agricultural sector where we can use or discuss these matters. I'm going to cut you short because there's a
memorial service for one of the honorable members who has passed on, and it will be starting at 12. So if you can just summarize what you're saying so that we can be able to be on time for the memorial service.
Okay. Totaal afhankelijk van of toelaat of die landbouw. En die landbouw floreert niet raar daar. Wat deze gezonde gebeurt, is dat die platteland is die gaan te ontvangen. En al mensen gaan naar die steden toe. En die steden zijn reeds voor begonnen. Wat is wat die in die situatie doen? Dan is het misschien de rest van de tijd. En dan heb ik laatst net die hele vergadering. En elke lid wat hier zit, bedankt. Maar ik weet dat jullie ons geluisterd is en dank je voor die begrip wat jullie voor ons gezongen voor onze situatie.
Short mines in the Mykolaiv are closing down and people depend more on grants and agriculture, but also the agricultural sector isn't doing good, so people move to cities and these cities are already overpopulated. And lastly, I just want to thank the committee that gave us the opportunity to come and talk presentation, and thank you for listening to us.
Ik wil jullie bedanken bij de Alicia, geachte voorzitter en afstaande heren, dat iemand ons geliefd is, ons waardeerde en ons is gelukkig met ontvangst. Bij dank.
I just want to thank you, Honorable Chairperson and members, for the fact that you listened to us, and we are also very thankful for the reception that we received from you. Thank you very much. We also as a committee appreciated the fact that the committee members are taking it up upon themselves. You don't need to wait for somebody to come and tell you what the problems are in your community. But you are raising the issues as seen by yourself, as felt by yourself in your community, so that Parliament can be able to really look into how best can we better your lives in this regard. I'm sure when you go back home and report to the community of Farfush, you will be able to say to them, the committee has made several recommendations that we should engage with the other stakeholder departments and parastatals which are operating in that area. But also at the same time, we would want to engage the Department of Transport nationally and the Department of Transport in the Northern Cape to see how best we can be able to look into the issues and take certain factors into consideration based on the presentation that you have made. And lastly, as a committee, we are of the intention to want to visit so that we can be able to have an understanding of what exactly are the issues there, so that when we talk to Parliament, then we talk to Parliament from an informed position. We already have our program that is from now up until December, meaning that after December, post-March, then we can be able to say when, because oversights are done 3 times in a year, then when there is an oversight, we're able to consider coming to your area, because last year we were supposed to go for an oversight, but we couldn't go precisely because there were other matters that had to crop in which actually made us to be unable to go for an oversight when we're supposed to go to Springbok at any rate. So when we do have a program which says we go to Springbok, then it will mean that it will be Springbok take the whole area that we have spoken to into consideration and be able to avail ourselves with that. Thank you very much on behalf of the committee. We really appreciate your having taken your time from your schedule. As farmer and as business people, we know that time waits for no man. If you are not there, your business suffers in your absence. So we really appreciate you being with us here today. Thank you very much. Honorable members, in terms of our program, we're going to recuse the
of the bulk woods community, and then we will look into the minutes of the previous meeting of the committee. Thank you very much. You are excused. 2 minutes.
Valerie will resubmit again to yourself. Okay.
Let's go to the minute of the 16th of August. Page one of the minutes of the 16th of August. Hopefully it's page two of the minutes. Nothing on page two, gone. Page three. On page three, any other, no corrections, page four. Page five. Can we move for the adoption of the minutes of the trust, Honorable Mulauji? Any seconder on the minutes? Honorable Khadre, Honorable Masolani, a seconding. Are there issues that need to be raised on this minute? Honorable Chester?
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I've noted the comments, which I mean, I don't have a problem with the comments on what was minuted on page four.
Okay.
I just want to say to you, although the Congress of People did withdraw from the ECC in the budget process, we could have, you know, the whole opinion was, and I think I need to make it clear, as this is a document of record that is open to the public, it is that the Congress of the People felt strongly about it, that the President has broken his oath of office, and therefore his executive, which is his ministers, appointed by him, and that is why we did not participate in that. Okay.
No, we are putting her to order that she must indicate whether she is attending committees and they are not attending plenaries. But if she wants to take a debate on the same president, she should say so that we can debate with her.
Well, you have to make comments about me and about the Congress of the People, so then you must expect a response from us.
No, I said why you were not.
It's not a one-sided road. It's a two-sided road.
Yes.
This is Let's not have a dialogue.
Probably, honorable member, if you can just call in. What we said was that COPE is not coming into meetings, and therefore we need to get advice as to how do we take the process forward. And what we were, for the fact that we are not coming into it, is we're not even aware that it's just the EPVs only. We're receiving your apologies, and therefore that is why we had to say, in view of the fact that they said they will not be attending activities, what should we do? And hence, as you seem to say, we need to get advice. And I think members should have received the advice that came from advocate. Did you say to all the members? Just only me. The main members that they just reported, I thought that it has gone to all of you. The outcomes from the advocate was very clear that we cannot withdraw a member from the committee. It is only the whip of that particular party that can be able to withdraw that member. And the reason why I was not even talking to you, I thought that honorable members have received that community that I got, because you said we need to advise us how to go about this whole thing, because we are receiving apologies from yourself, but your party has indicated that they will not be participating. So I think the case is closed, because we were advised properly, so to say, we as a portfolio committee, we can't withdraw.
Jason, I complete what I will say.
As long as it doesn't allow the debate amongst members, then they go ahead.
Okay. Well, then I just want to add further that in total, I've apologized from two meetings due to organizational matters. The rest of the period, I was all sick. So I think it's just important to note that too. But if I can also please just get a copy of a legal opinion. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll do that. What was in the meeting, honorable member? Yeah. What was in the meeting? I will request Valerie to circulate the
the legal advice that we got from the advocate, so that everybody can be able to have that, because it was discussed in the meeting. Mindful of the fact that you were not very well, but we also take cognizance of the fact that your party has a particular stand, and that's why we're getting to the acceptable apology. Do we look at what the party has said, and hence we had to refer to say, let's get an advice around this whole matter. I know it's not a very good thing to be done around you, but that is what we were trying to get. Honourable members, I think we have done our job in terms of what we had termed ourselves to do today. Thank you very much, and once more welcome back. We really miss your participation in this committee. That is why we have to say this Lendaba Ayiko straight. Yeah, I understand. We are gone. Ayiko straight, if we need. So for it to be straight, thank you very much.
But yes, you must understand we always wish her well.
Yes.
Smart, just come
and say,